Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. So if you can't catch the show live, you can download it or simply use our free podcast player, which is available on our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to connect with us, please post a question on our wall on Facebook or send me a tweet at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by Austria's Finest Naturally Authentic Pumpkin Seeds and Pumpkin Seed Oil from the Steiermark, available at organicuniverse.com. Listeners of The Organic View can receive $1 off their purchase by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. That's ORGVIEW. Also, don't forget to check out our contest section on our website to submit your information for our free monthly giveaways. For more information, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com/contest. On today's show, Tom and I have a lot to talk about. Some of the major topics we're going to discuss are Dow's Enlist Duo, Neonic news from Home Depot, and more from former USDA scientist Jonathan Lundgren. So first, I'd like to welcome to the show my co-host, Colorado beekeeper Tom Theobald. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon, June.
Many of our listeners write to us and are intrigued by what you're experiencing, Tom, as far as bee losses. So, Tom, can you please give us an update?
Well, I've said it before, June. This is really embarrassing. I'm just about done for. I'm going over the cliff. I just have a few colonies of bees left, and I don't know if I'll be able to keep them alive through the winter. The larger commercial operators certainly have more at risk than I do, but it just does not look good at all.
We've actually been receiving a number of emails in regards to what's going on in other areas in the United States from hobbyist beekeepers and people that are concerned about what's going on with the bees and other pollinators. And it's interesting, more and more beekeepers are starting to talk about their losses. So, folks, if you are experiencing losses, please write to us. The email address is questions@theorganicview.com. Now, Tom, it's hard to believe, but we've been doing this special series for 3 years, going on our fourth year.
Yeah, and I'm afraid it's just as bad now as it was 4 or 5 years ago, if not worse. There have been some improvements in some parts of the world. Canada in particular, Ontario and Quebec are stepping up to these questions of the neonicotinoid poisoning. But we find just the opposite in the United States and in many of the European countries. It's a very sad situation. As I've said before, we're probably looking at the most massive poisoning of Earth in human history, at least for those life forms at the lower end of the food chain. And what we get here in the United States are cover-ups and evasions and excuses and diversions. It's a very sad situation.
That brings us to our first topic, which is Dow's Enlist Duo. There was a really powerful article that was written in the Chicago Tribune that hit the nail on the head when it comes to what we're dealing with. The article is titled, EPA Tosses Aside Safety Data, Says Dow Pesticides for GMOs That Won't Harm People.
This is an interesting story because it's sort of a capsulization of much of what's been going on. Enlist Duo was registered by the EPA a little over a year ago, I believe. And what Enlist Duo does is it is a combination of glyphosate, Roundup, and 2,4-D. And it's intended to address the resistant weeds that have been created by overuse of Roundup, glyphosate. And the EPA now has decided that there is other evidence that they weren't aware of, supposedly, and they want to withdraw that registration. They're presenting it as an action on their part, when in fact it's in response to litigation filed by a number of environmental groups challenging that decision. So they have taken the step to remove the registration, but it's designed to be used with genetically modified crops that would be resistant to these two herbicides. So the rest of the story, coming from Dow, the manufacturer of this, creator of this genetically modified crop, corn, has said, well, you know, this is just a minor blip, and it's only going to be a little readjustment, and it will be available for the 2016 planting season. So it will be interesting to see how this plays out. Is the EPA going to follow through and keep these products off the market? There are serious, serious concerns about the combination of glyphosate and 2,4-D. There are many noxious weeds that are already resistant to 2,4-D, and we're talking about a many, many-fold increase in the use of this herbicide on American farmland, and there are very serious questions here.
I just want to read a little bit from the article, and it says, quote, for use on its new genetically engineered corn and soybeans, Dow Chemical Company is reviving 2,4-D, a World War II era chemical linked to cancer and other health problems. If these crops are widely adopted, the government's maximum exposure projections show that U.S. children ages 1 to 12 could consume levels of 2,4-D that the World Health Organization, Russia, Australia, Korea, Canada, Brazil, and China consider unsafe. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency had considered that exposure dangerous for decades as well. But the Obama administration's EPA now says it's safe to allow 41 times more 2,4-D into the American diet than before he took office. To reach that conclusion, the Tribune found the agency's scientists changed their analysis of a pivotal rat study by Dow, tossing aside signs of kidney trouble that Dow researchers said were caused by 2,4-D. Tom, this is just ridiculous. Are they trying to kill Americans?
Well, they certainly seem indifferent to the health effects of these things. And it's interesting, we're talking here about 2,4-D and the health problems, but a year or two ago, there was a similar long-term feeding study done in France, I believe, on with glyphosate, and there were substantial liver cancers that were the result. And the chemical companies went into an all-out assault and had that published study withdrawn by the journal that it had been published in. These groups have enormous power, and they're out of control, and nothing's going to change until we seize back our government.
And it's interesting because someone sent me an article that appeared in RT.com, and the title says, Putin wants Russia to become world's biggest exporter of non-GMO food. What's wrong with that picture, Tom?
Well, isn't that a very interesting contrast? And Putin is a crafty man, and I think he's, one, recognized the health benefits of staying away from genetically modified crops and all of these chemicals. But at the same time, I think he sees it as a world marketing opportunity. And that's what he said, that Russia could be a primary exporter and supply the world with non-GMO, non-chemical, in many cases, perhaps truly organic food products.
I find the whole thing completely disturbing. The United States is going to bow down to Russia for its food security. I just can't even believe that this is even going on. And I know a lot of people are feeling the same way. This is just ridiculous. The United States is going to be looking towards Russia for a clean, safe, organic food.
It is ironic. I don't know how to explain it. You know, there are so many aspects to these questions that it becomes difficult to keep track of all the threads, but I think Putin has taken a very responsible position, I have to say. And here in this country, it seems that we simply cannot get off the poison path that agriculture has been on since the end of World War II.
Well, the food supply is little by little becoming massively toxic. And even the day before Thanksgiving, there was an announcement in one of the trade publications about a new factory in China that would be cloning cows, family pets, and racehorses. So even though a lot of people have said, well, that'll never make it into the American food market, I don't know, when you take a look at the honey industry and all the honey laundering that's gone on through the years thanks to China, I just tell people, be careful of what you are eating. And it's all the more reason for people to get to know their farmers and especially to support local agriculture, especially when it comes to the beekeepers, because you know, without the beekeepers, we're not going to be able to continue to enjoy the foods that we, for the most part, have taken for granted for so many decades. The next article that I'd like to talk about is the announcement from Friends of the Earth in regards to Home Depot phasing out neonicotinoid products. I think this is such a huge victory, Tom.
Well, it is in many ways. This comes through the efforts of just plain old people. And initially, the larger corporations dragged their feet. They tried to avoid making any real changes. And Home Depot is stepping up to the plate and taking, I believe, a very responsible position. They I believe, say that they have removed neonicotinoids from 80% of their products and hope to reach 100% by 2018. Now, as good as this news is, this just represents a very small part of the environmental poisoning, but it's certainly a step in the right direction, and it comes from the efforts of people like you and I.
Well, I remember over the summer, or maybe it was this past spring, I received a message from one of the listeners that included a picture of a plant that they found at Home Depot that said that this product was treated with neonicotinoids, which kill aphids and other predatory insects on the particular plant. I don't remember what it was, but it's just interesting that Home Depot has finally recognized the fact that, yeah, they need to take responsibility for the products that they're selling. So, way to go, Friends of the Earth. I think this is a tremendous victory. It also shows that Home Depot is stepping up to the plate. And as much as you may hate Walmart, Walmart has taken the lead in selling organic, GMO-free plants and seeds. I was very pleased to see this past growing season that the plants locally, in any event, were all certified organic and GMO-free. So it's good to see such large chains take responsibility for the products that they're selling, and every little bit does help.
I believe, as I said, it's a step in the right direction. Perhaps a small one in the global view, but a large one in the corporate world, and hopefully Home Depot will set the standard for some of the other leading corporations.
Former USDA scientist Jonathan Lundgren has been in the news lately for efforts that he and his family are making as far as starting an ecological farming initiative. And I think this is tremendous, especially since he's been in the hot seat working for USDA, and he knows exactly what's going on. So it's great to see that there are initiatives like this taking place in the United States.
Jonathan Lundgren is a good example of what's been going on. He had done research on the effects of the neonicotinoids and the effect of Roundup and the neonicotinoids on the monarch butterfly, and it didn't meet with favor from the corporate interests, and he was under a great deal of pressure to stifle his research and to stifle him speaking out. And about a month ago, perhaps 6 weeks ago, he filed a complaint against the EPA and became the leading whistleblower this year. And he, I believe, has finally left the USDA to open this new endeavor. I think it's called Blue Dasher Farms. And
yes. The website is bluedasher.farm.
And he really needs the support of the public. So I would suggest that everybody Google up Jonathan Lundgren or Blue Dasher Farms and find out what's going on and see if they might be able to help support this effort.
In one of his communications, he wrote, "We cannot do this without you. If you value truthful science communicated plainly on topics like pesticide risks and practices in regenerative farming, then donate. It is the holidays after all. This is an investment in your operation, and you will likely benefit from it directly or indirectly." And he encourages folks to share the link to Blue Dasher Farm and just get the word out there. I'd also like to mention that they are running an Indiegogo campaign, and you can find that on their website, or you could go to indiegogo.com/projects/Blue Dasher Farm, or you could just search for Blue Dasher Farm in Indiegogo. And they're seeking $75,000 as their fundraising goal. And so far, in 3 days, they've raised $10,144. So that's really wonderful that they're gaining so much support so quickly.
I think people, it's a personal decision whether they want to support something like this, but I think everybody has a responsibility to at least understand what the effort is and make that decision. So I encourage all of our listeners to seek out Blue Dasher Farms and understand what Jonathan Lundgren and his family are attempting.
There's another issue that I'd like to bring up, and this is in regards to something that's going on in Europe. A group of over 90 independent scientists have written an open letter to EFSA, which is the European Health and Food Safety Commissioner, strongly challenging their decision about a flawed study. And this was in regards to glyphosate, and their conclusion was that it's unlikely to pose a carcinogenic hazard to humans. The fact that they have 90 independent scientists writing this letter, it's like the scientists are desperately trying to get the attention of the powers that be, whether it's in America, Europe, what have you, and these agencies don't want to budge.
Well, here in the United States, and I think in parts of Europe, we're obsessively addicted to the profit motive, no matter what the consequences may be. And I think the science is becoming so clear that the scientists are stepping up to their responsibilities. They're beginning to recognize that they have a responsibility to humanity to speak out against what's going on. And I think we're beginning to see that. Hopefully that will set the tone for what's to come, because here in the United States, it just is getting worse and worse and worse. And the Enlist Duo issue that we talked about a moment ago is one example of it. The EPA is hand in hand with this continual chemical escalation in agriculture, no matter what the cost may be.
I heard something from a colleague the other day. He was driving in from upstate, and he said to me that he heard something on the radio. He couldn't remember the source, but he heard it on the news that there is a group of leaders that are meeting to discuss which new genetically modified crops should be on the market next. Now, that's something that we could talk about next week, but it just seems as though things are not getting better for the pollinators, much less for us. And I guess the burning question is, how much can the environment take? How many tons of chemicals can we dump into the environment without the ultimate consequence, which is pretty much the global extinction of not only our species, but pollinators, everything that's living on the face of this earth? It's it just doesn't seem to be getting better, no matter all the efforts that are out there. And it just makes, you know, with the new year approaching, it just makes you wonder, will things ever get better?
It's easy to become discouraged. And so far, it seems that greed has trumped good sense. And we are seeing the consequences. We're in the midst of an environmental crisis. We're seeing massive losses of bird life, of freshwater invertebrates. The soil is being impoverished. The monarch butterflies are on the verge of extinction. The honeybees are under tremendous assault, and the honeybees would be seeing the same declines as the monarchs were it not for the efforts of beekeepers to keep that population alive. This is a huge environmental crisis, and we see no responsible reaction to it on the part of the decision makers. Things have to change.
They have to, because all of our futures depend upon it. And folks, in addition to what it will mean for us, think about the generations that have yet to be born. What does the future hold for them? Now, for those of you that would like to learn more about what's going on with the bees, and especially the impact of neonicotinoids, I would highly recommend two films that are worth watching. One is The Vanishing of the Bees, which Miriam Hanane produced about 5 or 6 years ago. It's been out quite a while, but it really shows the perspective from beekeepers as far as what they're experiencing, so you can get more of an understanding as far as what's been going on. Also, there's another film called More Than Honey, which came out in 2013, but there's one section of the film which shows devastation that's already happening in China. And that is what we can expect to have happen if the government, if the EPA does not take action to protect our pollinators. So, Tom, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me this week, and, you know, to be continued.
It certainly will be. It is unfolding rapidly, and it seems like every week brings new information, new studies, new articles, new controversies. It's a huge issue, and we're one of the few who are speaking out. The major media has really been asleep at the wheel here, in part, I think, because they're under the domination of their owners, which are the large corporations. There need to be some fundamental changes made if we have any hope of correcting these problems.
Folks, if you have any questions, please feel free to email us at questions@theorganicview.com. Join us next week as Tom and I continue to discuss hot topics and various issues that pertain to the impact of neonicotinoids. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon.